Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. This morning, we talked about true worshipers, and we talked about that verse in John chapter 4, and verse 23. The Bible says, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And you come to this spot, and you say, well, why does God have to look so hard to find someone who's going to worship him the right way, someone who's going to worship him in spirit and truth? And tonight, we're going to look at this thought, why some don't worship. And as I was praying and seeking the Lord, asking which passage or which description of a worship that someone had given throughout the Bible, there's a lot of great examples. This morning we alluded to the story of Abraham telling those guys behind, say, hey, look, we're going up yonder and we're going to worship. It says in Genesis 22:5, "And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." He looked at what he was going to do. Sacrificing his son was a form of worship. And you say, well, why does God need to seek for that? Everybody as a believer, they should be worshiping. Everybody should be worshiping in spirit and truth. Everyone should have that inner desire, but also do it in holiness, putting God first and above everything else. Why does the Bible say in John chapter 4 that he's seeking for those to truly worship him in the right way? To have that saying God is more valuable and worth more than anything else. And here in the story, the Lord led me to this story about this lady. And I know in years past we've looked at this, about the lady who loved him much. And I think one of the reasons why people don't worship him the way that he's looking for people to do, it's because we forget how much he's done for us. If we would live constantly surveying the cross, if we would live understanding how much we've been forgiven, and in my Sunday school class today, we talked about how Jesus was God, and we proved that, and we showed that over and over in the scriptures. He claimed to be God. He was Word. He was with God, and he was God. And then we learned that he was God. He was eternal. And then he became man for us. Can you imagine that? That the Creator became man as a creation. I know he wasn't created. Obviously, he took on a robe of flesh. But he came into this world, and this world received him not. He was rejected. He was despised by man. And the whole reason why he did that was to be a sacrifice for us. He didn't come to show how great and wonderful he was and impress the world with every. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was beaten unlike, he was put through things unlike anything else that anybody else had ever gone through. The sins of all mankind laid upon him. And he did that for us. And someday, we're going to see him again. There's going to be a reunion. And that's wonderful. That's exciting. But before that reunion happens, the way that we truly show how much we love him is how we value him today. He's precious. And how, if we look at something that's precious, we're going to give it high value. We're going to give it high worth. And it doesn't matter who's around, we're still going to view it as precious. Doesn't matter the circumstances, I'm still going to value it. Doesn't matter, how insignificant it may be, God is worth it. So in this story tonight, I want you to see Jesus is asked by a Pharisee to come to his house to eat. So let's look here in Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them." Now, the Pharisees have already given Jesus a very, very difficult time. He is not entering into a ground where it's friendly, more than likely. The Pharisee is not asking him to come because he wants to honor him or because he wants to learn about him, because you're going to see he doesn't even extend basic hospitalities of that day and that time. So he's kind of walking in on enemy ground. He said, well, why in the world would Jesus ever do that? Because he knew what was going to happen. It's because he loved the lost. Simon was a sinner who was in need of a Savior, and this could teach him something. So he accepts this invitation, and he says, "And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." Now, back in Bible times, many times the neighbors could come to dinner. And they, now, they wouldn't be sitting at the dinner table. They would just kind of line up against the walls and could watch. They couldn't talk, but they could. That was part of their culture, that they could come and see and hear the conversations. Now, a Pharisee, a leader in the community, and Jesus being there, it would have been a topic that night that, you know, hey, that would have been a great spot to be at. And listen, I wish I could have been there. I wouldn't care about eating, just to sit there and watch. And so this woman enters into the house. So it's not like she's breaking in. People would be coming and going throughout the meal. And it says, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, the woman who had the alabaster box of ointment, and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. As I mentioned this morning, as we looked at how God is seeking for true worshipers and what true worshipers look like. Because in the world we live in today, people are worshiping things they don't even realize or even know. And that's in verse 38, we see that this woman loves Jesus, is worshiping Jesus, is doing what she can to show her gratitude and show her love and how much she thinks about him. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You see a contrast here. You see a Pharisee over here who really believes that he doesn't need help, who thinks really highly of himself. He's over here. He's invited Jesus to dinner. You're going to find out in a minute. He didn't wash his feet. He didn't kiss him. He didn't anoint his head with oil. He didn't do all the basic common courtesies of that day. He just had Jesus there, maybe to spy on him, maybe to trick him, maybe to hear what needed to be said. And this woman here comes in, and she loves him so much, and she's so thankful for him. She just can't stop crying, can't stop weeping, and she does those basic common courtesies to him and does it in a very humbling, sacrificial way. And then Simon over here doesn't understand it. If Simon knew who Jesus was and knew of the gift, like we talked about this morning in John chapter 4, if you knew of the gift that God had to offer, Simon would have been right down there with that woman, you know, anointing his feet, weeping. But Simon didn't understand, didn't see himself as a sinner, didn't see his need. This woman knew she was a sinner, knew that God was able to save her, God was able to forgive her of her sins. And she is so overwhelmed with the love that she has and the thankfulness that she has and the gratitude that she has. She is there and she is weeping and just demonstrating how much she valued what Jesus had done for her. So Jesus teaches Simon a lesson here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Now, Simon was thinking something in his heart. Obviously, Simon didn't know that Jesus knew what he was thinking, because he doesn't even think Jesus is a prophet here, because he doesn't know about the woman. Simon's going to be surprised in the idea, not only does Jesus know who the woman is, but he knows what even Simon is thinking. He tells this parable. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50, so about 10 times as much. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. At this point in time, we don't see that Jesus has acknowledged the woman or said anything to the woman, but he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, and she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight, and Lord, I truly desire that what this woman had, the love that she had, the desire she had to worship you, would be something that we would grab a hold of, that we would see, as this lady did, how great and gracious you are to us with the forgiveness of sins, and the way that we can come to you, Lord, and you bid us to come, Lord, that we can know you, and Lord, that we can believe in you by faith, and we understand what you've done for us. And with that understanding, Lord, that we would learn to worship you, deem you worthy and valuable. And that, God, that tonight we would understand that you're seeking for people to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, that you would work in our hearts to show us different things that maybe we've put before you, things that we have put on a pedestal that need to be in its proper perspective and in its proper place. And that once again we would see you and focus on you, just as this woman does. She comes in and she's only interested. She's only interested in worshiping you. She's only interested in lifting you up. She's only interested in you knowing how much that you love her. She loves you. And Lord, help us to see that with our lives. We may not have a lot to offer. We may have a sinful past. But God, it's precious in your sight because of what you can do. You came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. And Lord, I pray that we would know and understand and truly value and put worth to who you are and learn how to worship like this lady did. In Jesus' name, amen. So I guess it comes to a spot here. The question is, Simon's there. He's sitting at the table. People are lined across the table. The way they used to sit back then, they would kind of recline down while they were eating. They didn't sit in chairs. It was more like couches. And Jesus' feet probably was somehow to the back of him. And they're there. You got a woman here who really loves the Lord. And you got another guy over here who's a critic, who really doesn't seem as if he's excited about Jesus coming. He is the Messiah. He's performed miracles, but he's preached and teached against the Pharisees. He's confronted them. So because of the fact he doesn't really offer him the common household, just things that people would normally do, we think that he doesn't really care much for Jesus. So tonight, do you love him much? There's a phrase that's found in there in verse number 47. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. You say, well, why does she love him much? Well, she loves him because of the fact she was the one that understood she was a debtor. She understood that she had this sinful past and that she needed a Savior and she needed her sins forgiven and that Jesus was the one that could do that. She loved him much because she did not forget what God had done for her. She did not forget what the Lord was willing and able, and according to what the story seems, as if she has already been forgiven. Now, you say, well, so why do people sometimes don't worship? They get over being saved. They get over what God has done for them. They lose the amazement of what God has and is willing to do for them. They grow cold. Because if we look in the Bible, and a person who loves much, it's because of the fact that Jesus first loved us much. This woman wanted to show Jesus how much she loved him, and she didn't know any other way but to find out that she was at this house and he was having dinner, and she just came in and she was willing to come in and demonstrate her love. You say, well, Pastor, I do different things. Well, how do we demonstrate our love for God today? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we really truly want to worship the Lord today, if we truly want to demonstrate our love today, he doesn't desire sacrifice as much as he desires obedience. We've seen that in 1 Samuel. He doesn't desire what people would consider fleshly praise and worship. He's looking for someone that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this woman who is humbly just trying to express to the Lord, this is how much I love you. This is how much I think of you. I don't know what else I could do. And it's a different story than the Mary, the woman in Bethany. But we remember her, that she came and she anointed his head with oil. It's two different stories in my mind. And in that story, we see there, what did Jesus say about her? She did what she could. She loved him enough that she did everything she could to demonstrate how much she loved. Do we truly show how much we love him and demonstrate that with the way we live our lives? Because that's what really worship is saying, God, you're worthy of my life. You're worthy of everything. I'm choosing to say no to something else so I can say no to you, because I know I can't love the world and love you at the same time. And I value you, and I'm expressing that. And that's what this woman does. She expresses this love. So I want you to think about a little bit what true worship looks like and why some people don't worship. The first reason why some people don't worship is because they have forgotten. The next thing is, some people don't worship because they don't focus on Christ. They don't focus on Christ. See, worship is not a climate we create, a method that we employ. It is not a program that we implement. As we mentioned earlier, it's not just in music. Worship is gazing upon the Lord and a humble realization of his marvelous grace of what he's done for us and the opportunity that he represents. This woman here knows that in the house of a Pharisee, she's not going to be looked upon very highly. In the house of the Pharisee, she's not... probably would have been say, hey, get out of here. This Pharisee would have never looked at this woman out in the daylight. This Pharisee would have never done anything. He would have walked on the other side of the street. He wouldn't even want to have been around this woman. But this woman takes the scorn, takes entering into an environment where she is not welcome, because she's not looking at the Pharisee. She's not looking at the people on the walls. She's not looking at the people sitting at dinner. Her gaze is found on Jesus Christ, and what can I do in this life to show him how much I love him? It's not about, hey, what's Simon going to think, and what's the people at the dinner table going to think, and what's all these people against the wall going to think, because they've all heard stories about me. They've all seen things. He says, no, I'm staying focused on the reason why I know he loves me and I love him much is because he loved me first. It's because he came to this world to die for me. And I understand that. And because of that, I'm demonstrating that. And how do you truly worship? You stay focused on him. You say, well, God is looking for those that are going to worship him and value him. Why doesn't everybody worship him that way? It's because we don't stay focused on him. We see the things of the world. We are drawn away by the things of the world. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because you cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. And the reason why sometimes we don't commit ourselves and we don't value God like we should and we don't put him as that high worship and that high priority and lift him up is because our gaze gets off of him and around our problems and the issues of our life. That's why some people don't worship. They've forgotten what God has done for them and they lose their focus. Another reason why sometimes people don't worship is because they don't have a grateful heart. I know it ties in together with the idea of being thankful and remembering. One preacher put it this way, an overflowing heart will produce leaky eyes. And it's saying that a person who has an overwhelming and overflowing heart for what God has done for them, it's going to be someone who weeps. Her soul, talking about her mind, her will, her emotions, they magnify the Lord. Like we learned today, we worship him in spirit. Our soul, our will, our emotions. In her mind, she understands the magnitude of Christ's forgiveness, or at least she gets a glimpse of it, and she says, if it were not for him, I'd be still lost in my sins. If it were not for him, I'd be headed to hell. If it were not for him, and she knows that, and she understands that, and she's so grateful for it. And that's when we sang that song this morning, when I survey the wondrous cross, when I see that, it demands my all. It demands worship. It demands praise because of who I would have been and what I would be without him and for him. Like the song we heard last week at our missions conference, the preaching of the cross. Where would we be today if it weren't for the preaching of the cross? Where would we be today if Christ hadn't come? Where would we be today if Christ didn't die on that cross for us? Where would we be if we were not believers? He has done so much for us, and that's she sees it, and she doesn't forget it, and she is so grateful. It's not even Thanksgiving Day, and she's showing her thanks. How is it so easily that we forget? How is it so easily that we don't ponder it and consider it? That's when the Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God. That's when he talks about ingesting it and thinking about it and bringing it back up and bringing it back up and bringing it back up. We have so much to be thankful and grateful for. A truly grateful heart will be focused on the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. It will cause you to praise. It will cause you to get excited. It will cause you to sing. It will cause you to cry. but it will not cause you to be static. It will not cause you to just be mundane. Now, we all worship in different ways, but there is an emotion that's involved also with it. And there is, if you look at this, emotionless worship is not found in the Bible. There's always a response. There's always obedience. There is always a praise. There is always a thankfulness. Now, I get it. Some people might be super excited, like David, when he talked about he danced before the Lord. And there might be other people who are a little bit more reserved in how they worship and how they praise. I understand that. It might be like Abraham. We're going up yonder to worship. You know, that doesn't really matter. But you're not going to be emotionalist when you hear what Christ has done. It demands a response. It demands my all. And I've forgotten what he's done for me. It doesn't matter as much to me anymore. So because of that, I don't put as much worth to him. Because of what he's done for me, I don't lift him up like he deserves and like he belongs. And that's what this woman does. I looked at the different spots of worship in the Bible and many people choosing God over Daniel choosing God over not praying and Joseph choosing God instead of becoming bitter and Abraham choosing to sacrifice Isaac instead of saying no, all those different things. But this woman shows us and teaches us a lesson that she comes in, she focuses on him. And why is she doing all this? It says it right there. It's because she loved him much. Why does she love him much? Oh, it's because he loved us first. If you can just get a clear understanding of the love of God, it will change your life. He loves us so much, and what he's done for us, the love that he has for us, it's amazing. Another reason why some people don't worship is because they let circumstances stop them. It's because they let circumstances stop them. Worship is impossible until we have an appreciation for who Christ is. Until we respond to him. You think about it, with this woman here, she could have said, I'm not going to be welcomed. She could have said, nobody there is going to want to see me. She did not let the circumstances stop her from worshiping. Inside that room, it doesn't say anybody else was worshiping. It doesn't say anybody else was showing love and kindness. It says that she came and she didn't care and she didn't let the circumstances that are around her stop her from putting God first. I think the reason why some people don't worship, number one, is they don't stay focused on Christ and they don't have that grateful and thankful heart, but they let circumstances stop them. I mean, think about it. What is this woman doing? She is wiping this guy's feet. She is crying so much, it's cleaning his feet. She is taking her hair and she is wiping. She's coming here and she's not doing something extravagant. And the idea that she is giving this huge amount, she is just showing her love. She's using what she could and the time and opportunity she had. You say, well, Pastor, my worship isn't much. The circumstances aren't the greatest. It's okay. It's right there. You see this. She's in an unwelcoming environment, in an unwelcoming territory, and she says, no matter what anybody else does, I'm going to worship him. No matter what anybody else may say, they might take me and they might throw me out. They might look at me funny. Jesus might not even respond the right way, but she didn't care what anyone else thought. She wasn't trying to make a show. She wasn't trying to market something. She wasn't trying to gain followers. She wasn't trying to impress anyone. All she wanted to do was show her love for the Lord and Savior, and they didn't get it over there. Simon didn't get it. Why didn't Simon get it? It's because he was that guy that didn't think he needed it. He was in the same need. He had a creditor. He had to pay, but he didn't realize that he was lost without him. The fourth thing, and I kind of like this one, is sometimes people don't worship because they think what they're doing is insignificant. Sometimes people don't worship because what they think they're doing is insignificant. I know that's a lot of words for a point, but here's the thing is, she is doing something that is small. Something that some people would say, well, that's meaningless. What's the big deal? Jesus' feet wasn't washed. Who cares? Back then, that was something that was a common courtesy. God was able to use this woman to teach Simon a lesson. And no matter how insignificant you think your worship is, God is still worth it. I don't care if you're cleaning a bathroom or if you're preaching a sermon. And I don't care if you're giving $1 million to missions or you're giving the last quarter you have. What you do is not insignificant in God's eyes. When you put God first and put God above everything else and say, here, you can have my lunch. It may be 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but it's yours because I value you. You can have my slingshot if you're David. You can have what's in my hand because I know you're worth it. It might not seem like much. And in the world's eyes, that lady was probably making a fool of herself and they didn't understand it and they didn't see it. It's because they didn't want to worship him. And sometimes when people get excited about just doing little things for the Lord and wanting to do their heart and do their best and they're excited about worshiping and excited about serving because they love him so much, and this is the only way they can show their love. They keep their commandments and they want to do what they can for the Lord and they want to do it with the best of their ability. It doesn't matter if you're carrying an offering plate or it doesn't matter if you're whatever it is that God's called you to do, do it with the best that you can. Why? Because he's worthy of it. The Lord uses this as a lesson to Simon, saying, hey, Simon, pay attention here. He says, those things that you should have offered me as common decency, this woman has done on her own. This woman has come. And why is that? Because she values me, and you don't. And sometimes when we think about things, and we're like, really, does it matter if I read my Bible? Does it matter if I pray? Does it matter if I show up at church? Does it matter if I tell somebody else? It just seems so small, so insignificant. Does it matter if I give that 10%? Does it matter if I show up to clean or show up to do this? Does all these little things really matter? The answer is, if you love him, it matters, because this is the way you show that you love him. You keep his commandments. This is worship, is when you come and say, I value you and that this is all I can do, but I'm coming with my whole heart and saying, God, you can have me. Whatever it is you want. Worship. And I see this woman, and the Lord doesn't condemn her. He commends her. He even goes and he says, thy sins are forgiven in verse 48. I believe that she's already had an interaction with him and she's already been forgiven. And the idea that she comes, and that's the reason why she's so overwhelmed here. But then you see that the part of the reason why it may was said is because people in 49, they're questioning, who is this that forgiveth sins also? It's because these people at the table and the Simon and the people against the wall that is questioning her, they look at it and they say, I don't understand why she loves him that much. What's the big deal? I don't get it. I don't see it. It's because they never, ever accepted his grace. And so many times people question and they sit there and look at, I don't see why they get so excited at church. I don't see why they serve. I don't see why they give. I don't see why they're always here. I don't see why they're always cheerful. I don't see why this. I don't see why that. It's because they haven't forgotten. They still have that grateful heart. They keep their focus on Christ instead of focus on what everybody else is going to say. They don't let the circumstances of this world just drain them of that love that they have. They love him because he first loved us, and they haven't gotten over what God has done for them. Instead, we have people sometimes that are coming and they're not worshiping in spirit and truth. They are worshiping, like I said this morning, they're here. Somebody made them come. Had somebody come to me after church and say, hey, I came today because somebody forced me to. And I says, I'm glad you're here. And they said, when you said that today, and I said, You're not worshiping if you just come because somebody's forcing you here. You've forgotten. Maybe it's that you're not grateful. So, Pastor, of course I'm grateful. Maybe it's because you've gotten your eyes off of him and you've gotten your eyes on the circumstances. You're letting the things of this world bog you down. Nothing's going to take away that salvation you received. Nothing's going to take away the love he showed for you and the blood he shed for you. And if you're a Christian tonight, you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. You have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. We have so much that we're blessed by. Why in the world do we minimize our worship towards him? I see this woman. I don't know who she is. Some Bible scholars believe in chapter number 8, it begins talking about Mary called Magdalene, talking about the woman who had been healed, had the 7 devils cast out of her. She definitely would have been a major sinner. Some people think it's the same person there. That's just speculation. At the same time, she was a sinner. She was a noted sinner. She was coming into a spot where there's a man who's self-righteous there, and he doesn't get why they love him that much. I wonder, sometimes we look at someone and we say, I don't understand why they love God so much, why they're always wanting to serve, and why they all this and that. Maybe it's because we've forgotten what he's done for us. Maybe it's because we've gotten our eyes off of him. Maybe it's because of the fact that the circumstances of his life has caused us to lose some of the affection we have for him. It's a good time to fall in love with him again. It's a good time to see this story and hear Jesus say in verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." So tonight, go ahead and worship him. And I'm not talking in some fleshly way. We talked about that this morning. If you weren't here this morning, go listen to the sermon. We're not talking about some type of adrenaline rush. We're talking about valuing God and putting him up where he deserves and saying, here's my life. I want to show my appreciation. I don't know how to do that. But what I have, I'm going to give it. What I can do, like he said about Mary of Bethany, she did what she could. Judas was complaining. Judas got the other disciples to complain. Judas didn't complain because he cared about what she did. He complained because he was a thief. Simon there is not complaining because of the fact that he cares that she's doing that. He's complaining that Jesus is allowing this woman to even touch her. He was too self-righteous for that, but there's a contrast there. Jesus loves that sinner. He could care less about her. And so tonight, hopefully this makes sense, but maybe you can take a long look at this story and say, I don't love him like that. I don't weep. I don't have the emotions. And once again, our heart is deceitful, is desperately wicked. But if you're going to truly love the Lord, he's going to speak to your heart. And there is the practical side and there is an emotional side too. And you see this woman here and he's commending this woman for her tears and all the things. We are just as much in a sin-sick world as this woman was. Our one sin or our millions of sins would have separated us from God. It's the fact that we're sinners and we're in need of a Savior. It's whether or not we view what he did for us, if it's really that important or that valuable. Do we worship? So why some don't worship? They lost their focus. They're not heading to Christ. They're heading to somewhere else. They're not grateful. They let the circumstances of this world. They think it's too insignificant. If God says do it, that's the way we're going to show our worship, is by doing the things he tells us to do. Let's pray.